thanks so much for having me. My name is Kelly Tyon. I am a faith-fueled author, podcaster, and coach for women. And my brand is called Addicted to the Climb, which is really about the foundation of the climb is about being resilient and helping others climb, know that they can climb their way out of anything that life throws at them. That's what my story is. That's what I mentor women about, because I just believe that God put us here for hard things. If life were easy, we'd all be at the top of the mountains. But it's all about those peaks and valleys and becoming resilient, finding our strength and our courage to just keep climbing. That's me.
Isn't it funny? Thank you, Kelly. It's great to connect with you. We connected and we've emailed and talked, but this is the first time face to face. So this is really great. Isn't it ironic? And I'm going to go into your intro and your bio here in a little bit, but I have to touch on what you touched on in your personal introduction, how most of our growth, when we're going through a tough time, you know, first thing we can think of is how do I get out of this? Or, you know, sometimes, it, you know, hopefully we try to pray our way through or out of it as well. But speaking for myself personally, when I look back at the biggest challenges in my life, those are always the biggest growth times in my life. I mean, it's not like you would look back and say, boy, sure, I'm glad I had breast cancer. But when you look back at the things you learned from that, I'm sure that you wouldn't change. It's like COVID. I look back all the time. I ask people, you know, if you could flip a switch in March of 2020 and everything that happened in the world and in our country and in your community and in your home and in your life would happen if you flipped that switch, or if you didn't, none of it would happen. Most give the same answer. Well, I wouldn't want the sickness. I wouldn't want the job loss and the companies closing down, but boy, I sure like how I grew during that time. So it seems like during those challenging times, we really grow. So talk about how your, we'll just get into your bio as we talk. Things are going to just,
I love what you just said, because it's about finding the blessing. Yeah. Like you, we don't realize when we're in the struggle, it's so hard. We just want it to stop and end. But when you do look back, it's amazing how the blessings that come out of some of these places and the growth that we all have. And that's what we really have to be aware of, because without these roadblocks and challenges, how are we supposed to climb, as I say, or become stronger? You know, we don't want to be staying the same our whole lives. We need to, these challenges just make us strong in so many ways. If you look at it that way, it's really about the way you look at it as well. So,
well, and in your world, having been a, you know, I'm touching on some of this, transformation coach for women in faith, fitness, and mindset, four-time national bikini champion, breast cancer survivor. You have your podcast and your book, Addicted to the Climb. You talk about that word transformation. And the first question I did have written down, and I would like to stick with that part of the script anyway. We may not go to this at all other than this first question. Tell me your definition of two parts, your definition of the word transformation, and then why that word is so important to you that you put it at the very beginning of your bio.
Oh my gosh, it's so important. I have transformed in so many ways. And it's really about the breakthroughs that I've had, that realizing who I am and the strength that I have inside me to keep climbing in life. That's what transformation is going back and saying, wow, yes, I am a breast cancer survivor. And through that experience, as awful as it was, I transformed into a strong, courageous woman. And I don't know if I would be that woman if I didn't go through that battle. I always say, without a battle, there is no champion. So you're in a battle right now, a listener right now, going through something really hard, you will be a champion if you choose to be, if you take the steps forward, if you just keep climbing, you know, one step in front of the other, you'll have a transformation that when you look back, you'll say, wow, I did that. I really did that. I came out okay. Now, we don't know our outcomes, of course. We can pray about things that, you know, circumstances that we're in. I prayed so much. I did pray through my breast cancer, not knowing where it was going to go. But, you know, if you do get to the other side, it is the champion that evolves inside you.
And I love that. Without a battle, there's no champion. Mm-hmm. Were your prayers more, God, take this away from me, or God, give me the lesson, or God, protect my children? I mean, I probably all of the above.
Yeah.
But yeah, where did you live in that mostly? What was your prayer life like before the diagnosis? I listened to another podcast with you recently, and you talked about how you were about 36 years old or so. You had your young, almost infants or toddlers in the car with you when you got that phone call saying you have cancer. Mm-hmm. Obviously that I'm knocking on wood for those that are not watching, but I'm knocking on my wooden head right now that I'll never get that phone call. But right. I know when major things have come my way, you know, your dad just died or your mom just died, or, you know, a friend just took his life. I mean, things like that, where I was, you know, where I was when the Trade Center was hit. I mean, we all know where we were in those significant moments and how our life transformed, if you will. Mm-hmm. What was your life like? How did it change from the time you got into the car that morning to the day when you got out of that car and you just got that news?
Oh my gosh, such a great question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that. I love that.
All right. Well, thank you. But I like to ask questions because I'm curious about people. That's what my superpower is, that I'm very curious about people.
I appreciate that very much. And so I did grow up in a Christian household with amazing parents. I'm an only child, and my mom was very spiritual and faithful. And it was beautiful to watch because I watched her as she went through rheumatoid arthritis, which really just attacked all her joints, but she always had a joy and a peace going through all that. So my faith was always there, and I knew God was always there. However, at that time during my breast cancer, if I really were to think about it right now, Ed, I think I was just going through the motions with God. And because I don't remember being, you know, super faithful. I didn't have a morning routine. Not that that matters, but things changed drastically in my life.
We can go days where we don't pray, or we don't think about God.
Right.
Or look at the Bible or what have you.
Exactly. Sure. And I think I just, you know, having a small child, you know, children at that time, and just kind of going through the motions, as I said, always knowing God's there. But when I did get the diagnosis, I really had to say, okay, Lord, like, let's go. Like, I don't want this to take me down. I did find myself drowning a little bit. Of mm-hmm. course, when you hear the words, you have cancer, you're never expecting that. And I had anger. All my emotions were at an all-time high. I had shame around it because I had just launched a fitness business.
Right. Yeah.
So here I am, the healthy girl launching this fitness business, and here I am being diagnosed with cancer. So I was angry. I was sad. I was, what do I do? Do I do this business? So I really just had to dial in my faith. Back to your question.
Yeah.
I had to say, you know, am I going to take my faith seriously? Am I going to go to prayer with this? Am I going to trust that God will take care of me? And that's what I did. I went all in on my faith. Because again, I told you the story about my mom. That's what I saw her do my whole life. And she always had that peace and joy in her mind that kept her going in her life, because her body was breaking down by the day. I mean, by the day, that woman was just in pain all day long. But she always had a smile. Yeah. So I said, you know what? If she can do it, I can do it. And I wanted to lean on my faith because, listen, faith brings us hope. And so what else is there when you hear the diagnosis, you know, you hear you have cancer or you're going through something really, really hard? Where's your hope? Without it, we crumble. And I knew I didn't want to choose that path. So I decided after the pity party, let's be real, I'm human. Right. I did have, you know, pity party for a while in the middle of the night. I'd be crying, you know, all the things. I was scared, but I had to make a solid decision. Am I going to just let that attack me, or am I going to show up for the women in my fitness classes in this boot camp? And I chose to do that. I wanted to show up. I wanted to be courageous, because what if somebody in that group got a diagnosis? Then right. they could at least, I could help them. And that's part of the transformation process. I wanted them to see me choosing positivity, being a light for them and saying, I'm showing up because I said I would, no matter what I'm going through. And I just really relied on my faith. So my faith did increase.
Yeah.
That's
you talk
for
about
sure.
That word hope. I do a lot of business coaching, as we talked about before we started recording, working a lot with family owned businesses. And, you know, you always hear people say hope isn't a strategy. And I get that it's not a strategy, but I also believe every strategy has to start with hope. Because if you don't hope for something, you're not going to get up off your knees. And, you know, the old phrase, you know, pray as if everything depends on God, then get up on your feet and work as if everything depends on you. And so, yeah, you have that choice. You're faced with that choice when you're given that diagnosis, or any of us when we're given that that news, whether it's news about someone else, news about our own health, news about a job loss, whatever, you know, we have options on where we turn. What do you tell people who, you and I are surrounded by a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus? And, you know, there was a time in my life where I didn't either. I wouldn't say I didn't believe, but I wasn't as committed as I might be today. I'm not, hopefully I'm less committed today than I'll be later, but I'm more committed now than I was. So at least I'm thankful for that. Yes. But when people say, how does God allow these, you know, you probably had people come to you, well, how can you believe in God? You have cancer. I mean, what do you tell people that question even his existence when they see so much pain and suffering, and when they question you about your pain and suffering as a result?
And I do get that question quite often.
I bet.
And
my wife has MS, and she's a very strong Christian woman. And I don't know if she gets that question a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if she does. But yeah, it seems like the more we believe, the more we get asked, especially if we believe and we are facing challenges.
So, you know, when it comes to faith in God and Jesus, it's really the personal relationship that we have. This is, you know, not a religious experience at all. This is really about you. When you know, you know. And for me, God showed up in my life. I know that I don't have the human strength to do what he's allowed me to do, the way he's showed up in my life. And I just feel his presence. It's something that I can't tell you how to pray. This is between you and God. I always tell people it's a relationship like you would have with your own child.
Yeah.
And there comes a sense of trust. So for me, I trusted the Lord and I put all my trust in him. And the more I lean into him, the more I see him in action in my life. The more I draw close to him, the more he draws close to me. So it's all about a personal experience, a personal relationship. I understand bad things happen to good people. I mean, my mother, think about what I told you. I grew up with a mom with rheumatoid arthritis from her toes to the top of her skull. She was scarred. And yet she had joy and peace and unconditional love in her heart that only can come from God. We can't, I know that that's not possible for human people. We just don't naturally have joy when we're in pain.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really, if you're interested in a relationship with God, it's about you getting quiet with him and finding out for yourself. That's really all it is.
Yeah.
Trust me, he will show up because he loves you so much. He created the universe. And yes, again, bad things are going to happen to good people, but that's where we have faith and put our trust in him. And you know, we don't know the outcomes in life of anything that we go through, but I know I have more joy in my life and more peace, and I can get through anything because I know he's with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Our faith doesn't prevent trials and challenges. It just equips us to face those better.
That's it. That's the word.
Yeah. We're equipped. We have the toolbox now that we may not have had before.
Yes.
Yeah. You that phrase too, that bad things happen to good people. I heard a pastor say a couple of years ago, yeah, bad things happen to good people, but the worst possible thing happened to the best possible person. You know, nobody's been through what Jesus has been through. And nobody was as good as he was or is. So you may think that, you know, yeah, bad things, rheumatoid arthritis happened to good people, your mom, but, and not to poo-poo or belittle that, but the greatest person of all, Jesus, had the worst possible thing happen to him. So if he can do that, granted, he's half God, half human, but still, it's a great example for us to learn that, you know, the joy in the trials and the learning in those trials is exceptional. And by the way, for our listeners and the audience, we're straying a little bit off of what normally we talk about in the From the Heart podcast. Like most people know that we do, you know, journey through faith, and it comes up in most of my guests. I think I'm just kind of drawn to people who have faith, you know, not 100%, you know, many people who are not believers as well. But at the time that we're recording, and we're going to post this probably today or tomorrow as well, it's Women's History Month. So obviously having a tremendously transformational, to use your word, a powerful woman on, and it also is Holy Week, the week of Easter coming up. And so pretty good timing to have you on today, being a woman of faith. So I hadn't planned it that way. It wasn't until I was starting the preparation a few days ago that I realized, wait, Women's History Month, Holy Week. Yeah, this is, nothing was going to get in the way of this recording happening this week.
I love it. See, again, right there. There you go. That's a clue. That's God's timing.
Yeah, exactly. And there's always things. There's always, you know, you host a podcast, you've had guests at the last minute who something came up or something came up with you. And so I was just praying and praying that nothing would come up this week that would keep this conversation from happening.
Well, I'm so thankful because I guess, can I be honest? I had the flu, and today is my first day that I am feeling myself. Imagine. Yeah. So again,
I'm glad you're feeling well. That's I've had, yeah, we've just had, I don't know, maybe it's because of kids and grandkids and guests and family coming over. There's always, and then us going out into the community. I've been at events the last two nights where, you know, we're exposed is that big word now, you know, since COVID. We're exposed to people, heaven forbid. So just a little bit, I'm going to put my old man readers on for a minute, cause I don't want to, you know, misquote anything. So I will touch a little bit on your background from the bio. We've talked a lot about you being a transformation coach for women in faith, fitness, and mindset. And I want to talk on that. 4-time national bikini champion. That's sorry, men. She's fully dressed today. So, you know, you only get to hear about it or go to her website. Yes. Breast cancer survivor. We've talked about the podcast and the book Addicted to the Climb. Proud wife and mother of two. Let me talk about another book that you wrote, The One Prayer. And I love the subtitle, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to paraphrase it. You know, what if your one prayer could be the one prayer that changes somebody's life? And I know I'm putting that in my words, not yours, but it's 52 weeks of prayer. Talk about the idea behind and the impact that you've seen from that book.
Oh my gosh. And you are very close with the tagline.
Okay, what if thanks. I read through parts of the book and read through the tagline, but I know I just put it in how I feel it rather than what.
Yes. And you're spot on. And it says, what if your one prayer could be the one answer to one person's miracle? Mm. And the reason I wrote that was for me to just become, let me take you back. I'm always looking, I'm on the climb, as we know. I am addicted to the climb. Yep. So I am a climber, meaning even talking about my fitness competition, let's go there for a minute. I was leading this fitness business, but I said, what can I do next? How can I climb higher in my fitness? And God took me to competing, because if I learned how to compete, if I learned how to get my body competition ready, that took me to the next level in my fitness. So I'm always looking, how can I be better? What can I do more of? And I'm always talking to God about going higher in whatever I'm doing. And when it comes to my prayer life, I really wanted to become more intentional. I do coach a lot of women in faith and, you know, becoming courageous in their lives. But for me, I wanted God, I was talking to him, how can I be more intentional? And this idea of this book came about, The One Prayer. Hmm. It's really helping not only myself, but people hone in on their prayer life. Where can you be more intentional? What are you praying? Are you praying big, bold prayers or just general prayers? And that's really what the book is about. It's logging in from week to week, your prayers. What am I actually praying for just this week? Not bless my food. You know, these are nice general prayers to say, make sure my family's healthy and strong. But for me, I'll give you an example. I wanted to be more intentional. My son is going to be going to college, not in September, but next year. Yes. So what I'm writing down right now in my one prayer book is praying for his college roommate That's how specific I want to be.
We're praying for the spouse of our children too. We may not have met them yet, or they may not have met them, but we're praying for them. Absolutely.
Exactly. And so now I'm just becoming more intentional because I'm logging it in. I'm seeing it instead of just saying a prayer and forgetting it. I have a lot of people that ask me, Ed, can you pray for me? I just got diagnosed, or my mom just passed and I need prayers for peace and comfort. So I'll pray in the moment and then I forget.
Right.
And I don't forget anymore. I got tired of forgetting and saying, oh my gosh, I remember that woman asked me to pray. Or sometimes I turn the news on. And the other day I heard a story of, and oh my God, I'm going to tear up, this family walking with their four-year-old little girl, and a car struck the four-year-old girl and she passed. I'm like, that family needs prayers, whether they believe or not. I wrote them in my book. And I want to remember to pray for them. They need prayers for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. There's not a day goes by now
There's
going
not
forward.
Not a day goes by. You know, their lives are changed. And so my heart goes out, and I just want to be more intentional about my prayers. And this is a book for anybody to get more intentional, whether they're Christian or not. Everybody needs prayer. And your one prayer could be the one answer to your miracle or someone else. So I am seeing people, the testimonies already. I mean, the book has been out since January, and it's just been amazing. People are, they're writing all, you know, it's all written up, and they're saying,
that.
I love it. And it's just, you know, amazing to hear that it's making a difference for people.
You know, my dad kept a little notepad. My dad passed a couple of years ago at 94, and he was a very strong Christian. He says he came to Christ at age 66, but I can't remember a time that I didn't think he was already a Christian, but that's where he had his point. But every night he would have, during the day, if he heard about someone, the grocer at Ralph's grocery store, or the teller at the bank, or a family member, or a friend of a friend of a friend of one of ours who we're praying for, he'd write them down in his notes. And then at night, literally just open up that notepad and pray it, you know, and pray for that person. And it was just his daily prayer life. And it was quite an inspiration for me.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's interesting how that, you talk about how that one, you know, the one prayer, I love that. It seems like you, from what the little bit that I know about you, and I feel like I'm getting to know you even better just in these first 20 plus minutes, your focus is on obviously changing and impacting and improving the world, but you recognize that it happens one person at a time. It's like the starfish story, you know, the little girl on the beach who throws the starfish in the ocean, and the man says, what are you doing? And saving these. Well, you can't save them all. Picks one up, throws it in the water. No, just save that one. You know, and it's just like, yeah, there, you can see women in general, and probably do some coaching with men, I would imagine. I know at least one man here that's probably going to ask you after this call, what can you do for me? But I know it's more about what can I do for myself. But talk about that, how that impact of the one, when I say, you know, impacting that one person, what comes to mind for you?
Oh my gosh, that has been my mission statement since I started my business 20 years ago. I started in Mary Kay Cosmetics when I was young, in my young 20s. And I always said, if I could just make an impact in one person's life with a lipstick, make her feel beautiful, way back then, make somebody feel pretty. I always had that. And then with my fitness business, if I could just have one woman feel more confident in her body, in her mind, then I did my job. And so the one, I guess you're really getting me thinking today.
Well, but you're doing it to me too. So it's mutual.
It's showing up in my life. The one decision. I mean, I've made one decision after I found out I had breast cancer. Am I going to sink or swim? It's all about one. And for me, it's all about making an impact in one person's life. I created my podcast. If one person felt better about themselves after listening, then I feel like I've done my job. And I know that's where God has me. It's not about, you know, obviously I want to make an impact in the world. Like you said, that's the dream. And I'm going to let go and let God just handle that part. My job is to just show up, do the work that he, you know, carved out for me with my mission. And it is about just one person.
And I love how part of your bio, I apologize, I'm not going to read the bio because all of it's coming up in this conversation.
Coming up.
But I love I'm going to ask you a question about something that you wrote in the bio and then share a quick story of mine, how I've tried to do that as well. Your focus on trying to help transform one woman each day. Mm-hmm. So you have this daily goal of the one. Mm-hmm. I made a decision years ago. I used to take the train from where I lived at the time, near where we lived, to up to Los Angeles to go to work every day. And most days I would just, oh, I'm so excited. I get 40 minutes to read, or 40 minutes to close my eyes, or 40 minutes to stare out a window, or maybe talk to a person or two on the train. Being the extrovert that I am, I would end up in that situation more often than not. But one of the things that I decided, I had, I don't even remember if this was a challenge someone gave me, or if it came up through prayer or journaling or my wife's suggestion. I don't know where it came from. I just know that I made a conscious decision this one week, and it turned into two and three and four, is that I'm going to smile at one person and look them in the eye once a day on the train.
Wow.
Because it's amazing how often we don't do that. Oh, and maybe we do it all the time and we're not aware of it. But when we become aware and we're more conscious of it, that, you know, I'm going to look at a stranger, I'm going to look her or him in the eyes, and I'm going to smile.
Mm.
What a dramatic impact that made on me. Mm-hmm. Because I saw it in them. You know, I saw them transform. I saw them go from, well, what a hard day this is, to, wow, this stranger just smiled at me. And it's not like he's smiling at me all creepy. You know, maybe some took it that way, you know, but most of the time I try not to be creepy. But where does that, I mean, you've talked about it a lot already, and I know it's your relationship with God, but I love that philosophy of I'm going to impact one woman each day.
Mm-hmm. That's it. There was a time where I do create a lot of content and I'd be like, oh, I need everybody to see this. Why isn't everybody seeing it? But then I'm always drawn back to, what if just one sees it? What if just one person hears my message?
Yeah.
That's where it starts. And again, I'm about God. So I always say, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to keep showing up just for that one person, because they need me.
Yeah. And I pay attention to the numbers on this podcast, and I could tell you how many listeners subscribe and how many viewers have watched on YouTube. And I know those numbers because from a marketing perspective, you know, people who want to sponsor want to know those things, for one. Mm-hmm. But I love it when one person reaches out and say, man, I listened to that interview with Kelly and it changed my life, or I watched you interview Ken Blanchard, or you interviewed Denise Brown, or whoever the person was. And sometimes I forget, like there's been times in this conversation, I forgot that there's actually going to be people that are going to listen and watch this later. You know, it's just, I'm learning. And so I'm enjoying the fact that I love it. So, okay. So talk about, obviously the breast cancer diagnosis. I can't imagine a bigger challenge, but have there been other challenges like prior to that? You know, you had the tools, to use the term we used earlier, at age 36-ish. I'm guessing it was about that time when you got that diagnosis, but you didn't just get those tools because life was great for the first 36 years. Other challenges maybe prior to that, where you really had to lean in on God, or you learned more about yourself and or other people around you. I mean, we don't go through it alone. Every challenge I've had, I can point at a person or two or 10 who are there for me. And I try to be there for the others who are going through it as well. Are there experiences and individuals that really helped you get through some of those challenges in the past?
You know, I really just have to say, it's always been my mom. She was my rock. She was the one who just mentored me my whole life. And so, you know, given me the foundation, she gave me a lot of the biblical tools, the God tools that I needed. But of course, you know, you go through so many things in your life. We had gone through prior, my son was two when I found out I had the breast cancer. And when he was born, they thought he had a tumor in his head. And, you know, that was just another moment of despair in our lives, my husband and I. And, you know, thankfully today he's thriving. We made it through that tough time. But yeah, I mean, a lot of my trials even came afterwards. I ended up losing my mom about 7 years ago to an aneurysm. A sudden aneurysm. Wow. I mean, talk about life being, you know, getting shaky.
Yeah.
And right 6 weeks before that, my dad was diagnosed with a rare blood cancer.
Hmm.
So there's been some hardships. And yeah. I mean, I don't, this is why I'm so passionate about my faith, and leaning on my faith, because I'm telling you, Ed, I don't know how people do it without faith.
I say that all the time.
I just don't know. And I'm talking about faith. I talk about faith in God, but it has to be more than ourselves. I just don't think as humans, we're strong enough to get through. We crack very easily.
Yeah.
You know, when the going gets rough, it's tough to stay afloat when you don't have faith. It yeah. really is. Whether it's faith in whatever you want to believe, it's just having faith in something to get you to wake up the next morning, to get you to put your feet on the ground. And that's why I'm so passionate, because if it wasn't for that, I don't know how I would have handled the death of my mom. I told you a lot about her today, but
yeah,
when I lost her, that was, I don't even know if it was worse than when I went through breast cancer. My heart was shattered because it was so sudden. And that's when I really had to lean in on God to yeah. really help me so I wouldn't drown.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You're really good at creating an image when you're talking, because I keep getting all these visuals and all these ideas as you're sharing with me. I'm excited to go back and listen and re-listen to this conversation later. But yeah, everything we do is faith driven. I mean, I go to a meeting this afternoon having faith that not just the immediate gratification, and I hate that word gratification, but that immediate impact will be there, but it's always because of some future hope of something happening. You know, I attend a board meeting for one of my nonprofits, not because that board meeting is going to change my life, but the work we do in that meeting could potentially change other people's lives down the road. So, you know, yeah, whether it's faith in God or faith in yourself or faith in a cause, where else do you get involved in your community or communities around, besides in your fitness and your writing and your podcasting and in transforming women and everything else? Are there specific causes that are near and dear to your heart where you put some of your time and attention?
Right now I'm actually in the middle. It's funny that you asked that, because I've been talking to my husband about where God wants me. And so right now I have been in prayer about that, whether it's my daughter actually is getting very involved with the homeless in Boston. And, you know, God, there's a few things that are going on in my life right now that I have, you know, to be involved with right now. I haven't chosen, but, you know, my heart has always been for women. And no offense, men.
No, as a man, none taken. You know, I get it.
No offense, but I do breast cancer events, things like that. And I speak a lot of life into women's events. So I'm about just being a voice for women that go through, whether it's cancer diagnosis, just lost themselves along the way, divorce. So there's so many avenues that I know God has his hand on me to be in, but specifically in this very moment, just in prayer about that.
Yeah. I had a pastor years ago when he was talking about, you know, choosing where you want to serve within the church or in your community. His words were, if you need help figuring out where you want to put your time and your talent and your treasure and so forth, just ask yourself, what breaks my heart?
Yeah.
And when you stop and think about that. So when you think about women, just, this is a big, big question, and I'm not going to get too specific. The work you do is with women transforming. What breaks your heart when you look at what's happening with women around you, and why this, why you're doing this?
Oh my gosh. You know, it's their lack of feeling worthy that breaks my heart a lot. They don't think they can do it. They, you know, all of a sudden they wake up and they're 50. They lost themselves.
Careful, I'm turning 60 next week. Don't be very
listen,
careful.
I just turned 50. I just
right on. So I thought you were still in your 20s, you know. So I did the math I know you're not, but you know.
Yeah. I'll take that any day. I will take that. I just had my 50th birthday in February.
Awesome. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
February what, by the way?
21.
Okay.
My age. That's my real age.
Your real age. There you go. Nice.
Yes. I was blessed to have that number. It's my favorite number. You know, I've just always had a passion for women. I see them feeling just not confident, not their self-esteem, their self-worth. I want to be a voice for them to say, you know what? Again, it's my Christianity, my faith in God. I want women to see themselves the way God sees them. Mm. You know, the way you look at your own children. Would you ever look at your children and say, well, you're pretty ugly. You're not really worth. Not really.
Well, there are days, but no, I get, yeah. I
well, there are days.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, you know, God sees us and we're beautiful from the inside. And a lot of women just don't see it. And that's why they don't step into the person God created them to be. They don't take the risk. They don't do the things in life that it holds them back. Yeah. So my heart breaks for women that don't step out with courage. And that's where I want to be their voice and help them to be able to do that.
I love that. You talked earlier about relationships and you touched on it again right there. And a question I had in my head that I didn't jot down is, you know, for people who don't understand, and I'm kind of looking right at the camera now when I say this, if you don't understand what Kelly means and others mean by God just wants a relationship with you, if you're a parent, think about you and your children. What do you want more than a really great, loving, trusting, authentic relationship with your children? I mean, as a parent, we have 4 adult kids, 9 grandsons, 3 others that are part of our lives that are, you know, they're basically grandkids, long story there, but, you know, so really 12 plus nieces and nephews and children in our community and everywhere else. I mean, I love when, you know, one of my children, when one of them comes to me and, you know, just wants to confide in me or wants to ask for my advice or just puts their arms around me and tells me that they love me. And that's what God wants with you. That's what God wants with all of us is just that relationship, knowing that we love him, that we trust him, that we can confide in him, that we can lean on him. And the rest is just gravy, really. He doesn't care about your works. He doesn't care about, you know, how many hours a day you're on your knees praying or how many hours a day you're in the Bible or how many people you even talk to about him. Sure, those are great things. And because we love him, we do those things. We don't do those things to earn anything. We do those things just because it's so in our heart. So thanks for touching on that earlier. And it was a thought that I just felt like I needed to share. I don't know. Like you said before we recorded, just follow the Spirit, wherever the Spirit takes us.
So. Listen, it's like we're at church today. I love it.
There you go. Take me to church, right? There you go. Yeah.
I could talk all day about it.
Talk about music in your life. I know there's no, I haven't really seen anything on anything that you've talked about, but music plays a pretty important part in a lot of our lives. Is music any, I don't know why I feel impressed to ask you that question. Nothing triggered it, but is there the power of music in your life in any way? Obviously worship music, I'm guessing.
It's worship music. You know, it's funny. And I'll be totally honest. I was a 90s hip hop gangster girl.
Nice. All right.
I gotta tell you.
I'm gonna be digging for pictures now.
Oh my gosh. Listen, I still love me some rap at so not the new age stuff,
right.
But the Biggie Smalls.
Yeah.
I love my rap back, you know. Back
if you look at the music on my phone, you'll see every genre.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like to put on random every now and then, and I'll get a good Lauren Daigle song followed by an MC Hammer song followed by a Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Frank Sinatra, and, you know, and I love it all.
That's beautiful. I love that. Having variety. That's the spice of life, right?
That's what they say.
But it is worship music, and Elevation Worship is my go. I love all their music. It lights me up. And I'm glad that you asked. I just went to Elevation concert a couple weeks ago.
Cool.
And it's
all
just
the Spirit, like you said, right? So who knows where to go? Yeah.
Yes. It's great. I love it. Yes. I'm not really I'm always listening to a podcast in the car. Like when I'm driving, I hardly listen to music.
Yeah.
And another fun fact, I never watch TV.
Really?
No.
I wish I could say the same.
I mean, being sick, as I said in the beginning, I had the flu. Yeah. I was very sick for the last 5 days. What does everyone do? They're usually binging all this TV. Here's me. I'm sitting there with the remote going, I don't even know what to watch. It took me about an hour to find one thing, and then I shut it off because I just don't have an interest.
Yeah, but that's where I also have a lot of variety. I can watch anything from American Idol to The Chosen to Breaking Bad to who knows what. I mean, there's across the board. Some things I'm not real proud of that I've watched, but I still, I like entertainment. Talk about a little bit about what's next for you. I mean, what when you think about, you spend your life working on helping transform women, some men hopefully, like this one here right now. What about for you? Where do you go? Prayer, obviously, we've talked about this, and I don't mean to discount that in any way, but who do you look up to? What are there leaders or mentors out there for you currently that, famous or not, that you look towards to help you through your daily grind?
Absolutely. We all need mentors, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody that's a few steps ahead. And I definitely have some great mentors out there. For me, it's really about where does the Lord want me to go? And I, bigger stages to bring my message of hope and encouragement and transformation to people. And possibly I believe there's still more books that will be coming forth.
Yeah.
I see them, and I think that's probably next for me, is I do run my mastermind program for women. So that runs 3 times a year. My next session is coming soon.
Talk about that. Promote it. Tell the people who are listening.
I would love to share that. It's an intimate group of women that, again, all the things that I mentioned of the women that I work with, women that just need faith in their lives to know that everything's going to be okay. It's really to help them evolve as the woman God created them to be, to see what their potential is, that's what holds them back. So we dive deep over 12 weeks in that session.
Is it virtual or in person?
It's virtual. Good. There will be a retreat in the fall. I love bringing women together. Yes. So right now I'm still doing my book tour. I have a lot of book signings coming up, events. So
good.
It's exciting. Yeah. Very exciting.
Yeah. I'm in that season right now. I'm turning 60, and I've been asked by several, my wife and a couple of mentors and close friends, what do you want to do for your 60th birthday? And I kept going back to, I want to write a book and I want to share it with the world. So long story short, I'm in the final stages of a book called Boomer Wisdom, Lessons for the Next Generations. And what we've done is we've compiled so far about 41 or 42 different people who have contributed a chapter to the book. So you'll see a chapter from Dr. Ken Blanchard and a chapter from Marshall Goldsmith and a chapter from maybe others you've heard of and many that you haven't, because they're local leaders and friends of mine. And we're all just answering the question, what lessons have we learned in our lives that we'd like to pass on to the next generation? And there's a lot of faith in the book. There's a lot of leadership. There's a lot of family business, because that's the world where I live and work every day. There's a former military leader who wrote to the military next gen. I've got a former pastor or current who's retiring, who's written to his congregation. And, it's really cool. I think that every chapter stands alone. And I wrote a fictional baseball book 20 years ago, which I've got copies on my, I think most of the copies I bought or I sold or I bought, they're on my bookshelf. A few people have bought, I've made a couple of bucks from it, but that for me, that's my pun intended next chapter, writing a book.
I love it.
See what I did there, but it's definitely in my crosshairs as well to continue to write and then get out and talk about it. And it's, faith-based, faith-driven for the most part, I think. We're launching some peer groups for Christian family businesses at some point in the near future. So it's fun to think about where God points us. There's a lot of areas where I want to go. And then my wife keeps reminding me, have you prayed about it? It's like, okay, I got to pray about it. And when I pray about it, suddenly the answer is different than what Ed wanted. So true.
It is so true. That's why I've definitely surrendered over these last few years and just had to let go of some things, let God lead. He always has a better opportunity than we ever could put together, right?
Yeah, we plan, God laughs, right? We've all heard that. Yeah.
Yes. So. I'm right there with you though. I love letting him lead now. in not feeling so anxious about what's my next move. I know he has me. That's part of faith. And that's what lights me up. So it's exciting. It's exciting to be on a faith journey, isn't it?
It really is, because it's just that faith part of that is that's such a great way to look at it is, you know, it's like, I don't know what the next step's going to be. I'm going to step and I'm going to trust that there's solid ground there.
And yes.
So, this point in my life, there has been. So why wouldn't I believe that there's going to continue to be?
Exactly.
How do people reach you if they want to get involved in the mastermind program? They want to find out about your books. They want some individual coaching. They just want to get to know you like I'm getting to know you now, which is an honor. What's the best way for people to find you?
My website is addictedtothecline.com. Okay. And then I'm very active on LinkedIn, just Kelly Tyon. I'm with EY. And I'm on Instagram as well. I do a lot of stories on Instagram. Yeah. So if you want to dig into my, you know, see what I do in a day, I'm always doing stories on Instagram. But those are the places that they can definitely reach out. My programs are on the site, addictedtothecline.com.
Link to your podcast and everything there.
Everything.
And links to your book.
My books.
Yeah.
Yes. Both books, podcast, coaching. I do some one-on-one coaching, the mastermind. Yes. And speaking. If you're looking for a female speaker, people,
there you, go.
You got her.
Definitely. Well, we will promote the heck out of you on this, on the show notes. We put this up on all the podcast platforms, including YouTube. And, we'll send you the link so you can share it any way you'd like to as well. Gosh, I feel bad because we're already at that time, past the time that we had allotted to have this conversation. And there's so many areas I'd like to still go with you, but I am going to close the way I close all of my interviews. As you can see on the screen, and you know already, and those that are watching and listening already know this, the name of my podcast is From the Heart. And my last name is Hart. And so that is if my last name was Smith, it would probably be something completely different. But since it's From the Heart, the last question I always ask all my guests, and I'll make this our last point of conversation, I guess, if you will. Kelly Tyon, what's in your heart?
My heart is just so full of gratitude. That's it. It's all gratitude right now. I'm grateful you had me on. I feel blessed. I never take these divine appointments for granted. And I'm just grateful for what God's doing in my life and for bringing people into my world like you that I never knew before. And because you never know what God wants for us. So it's all gratitude.